Today we're just going to talk informally about some of the history of yoga. Approximately 15,000 years ago, the first Vedas were given. Vedas are old teachings given by the first seers. And one of the examples of those teachings, one of them is known as Sangacchadvam, which was a chant of collectivity, of having everyone move together in life. So those Vedas were given, and many, many great teachings were embedded within them. There were actually three series of different Vedas given, one 15,000 years ago, one 10,000 years ago, and the final one was 5,000 years ago. In between the second and third Vedas, at the time of 7,000 years ago, around 5,000 BC, there was a great yogi on the planet named Sada Shiva. Sada means always, and Shiva means pure consciousness. They say his mind was always in a state of pure consciousness, and that was why he was able to do so much to benefit the society and give so many great teachings in the realm of yoga, human thought, music, literature, so many different aspects. He's also known as the father of Tantra, which is one all-encompassing branch of yoga. Thereafter, other great yogis also were on the planet, including Krishna. They say Krishna was on the planet 3,500 years ago. And the epic discussion between Krishna and Arjuna on the battlefield, which is encompassed, which is known as the Bhagavad Gita, which is one section of the Mahabharata, talks about all different aspects of human life and what one's duty and responsibility is, what is the goal of life, many, many different aspects of eternal type of existential questions are answered by Krishna in his discourse with Arjuna, who's at the time frightened to go into battle. In a nutshell, that was part of that. Then we've come to around 2,000 years ago, and there was another sage who came onto the planet, born, and his name was Maharishi Patanjali. Maha means great, Rishi means seer, and Patanjali was his name. He actually did not give too many original teachings of yoga, as Shiva and Krishna did. But what he did was he organized many, many aspects of yoga so that the teachings would not get lost. We have to remember that the Vedas were first given 15,000 years ago, thousands and thousands of years before any script was created. So those teachings were preserved through repetition, through oral singing, made into chants, and grandfathers would pass it on to people who lived in monasteries and learned the chants, and it passed on to one generation to the next. So over those thousands of years, so many teachings had been given, but they hadn't been formally coded or codified, which is what Patanjali did. That was his great contribution. And he created one code of yoga known as Ashtanga Yoga. Ashtam in Sanskrit means eight, Ang means limb, and Ashtanga Yoga is the eight limbs of yoga. That's not to be confused with today's yogic exercise practice known as Ashtanga Yoga, which came out of Mysore, India in the 20th century. That's just a physical practice. Here, Ashtanga Yoga refers to the eight classical limbs of yoga. There are actually some other aspects of yoga that are not incorporated into it, and that's something to perhaps discuss on another day. But here we're talking about the eight formal limbs that got codified into Ashtanga Yoga. And those limbs are number one, Jama, and number two, Niyama. Jama and Niyama refer to 10 codes of contact, 10 codes of conduct, or do's and don'ts of life that deal with benevolent truthfulness, that deal with non-stealing, that deal with how to sacrifice. All different codes are there, non-harming others. There are 10 in all. So just for here, we'll just know that those 10 exist about life guidelines, we can say. And so the third step is known as asana, which is our physical aspect of practice, where we do our forward bends, our back bends, side bends, all different of the asana practice, which helps keep the body healthy and the mind calm. The fourth limb is known as pranayama, which is a regulated breathing pattern using alternate nostril breathing. That also helps calm the mind. Both the third and fourth steps are physical practices which help control and calm the mind. You're using the physical body to harness the mind. The fifth step is known as pratyahara, which is a psychic step, withdrawing the mind from worldly objectivities and focusing the motor and sensory organs within. That's the first step of any true meditative practice. Number six is known as dharana, or concentrated approach, concentration. And there are lots of different meditative techniques that concentrate the mind, for the mind to concentrate. Those concentration points are often done at various chakras, or can also be done just inside the mind, but basically done at chakra points. And number seven is dhyan, which is sustained meditation in the crown chakra. So when the mind is up and high, feeling nice and light and vibrated and blissful, then your sustained meditation is dhyan. And the last one is not a limb to be practiced per se, but the culmination of one's whole yogic ideal. And that last step of Ashtanga Yoga is known as samadhi, which means ensconcing the mind in some eternal blissful meditative state, or just losing oneself in that bliss. So that's a little bit about the history of yoga, informal history, and the codification of the eight limbs of Ashtanga Yoga, first given by Maharishi Patanjali. Okay.